The Weekly Dish podcast is brought to you by Lakewinds Co-op in Minnetonka, Chanhassen, and Richfield with delivery from Instacart. There's no membership required to shop at Lakewinds. All are welcome. Check out lakewinds.com, and if you can't make it to a Lakewinds, please visit your local food co-op in the neighborhood near you. Build healthy back-to-school meals with sustainable natural foods from your co-op. Whether your students are eating at school or at home, you can find nutritious food they will love at Lakewinds. We have a great selection of organic cereals, yogurts, and locally made Gustola granola for a quick grab-and-go breakfast. I'm Stephanie Hansen, and filling your lunch plate with fresh organic produce like cucumbers and grapes is easier than ever. And pretty soon, local apples will be in season. One of my favorite quick at-home lunches is sliced apples, rotisserie chicken, red onion, and celery with a yogurt mayo dressing for a quick chicken salad that you can serve on a croissant, on a baguette, or on a bed of local greens from Superior Fresh that are grown in Hixton, Wisconsin. At Lakewinds, there's a wide selection of crackers for nearly every diet and taste. They have the buttery classic crackers from late July that are always popular. And for a gluten-free option, try Simple Mills almond flour crackers with a dollop of freshly made hummus from the deli. Crackers are quick snacks for lunch, and my husband's favorite lunch is a handful of almonds and a few grass-fed beef snack sticks from Thousand Hills Cattle Farm. Everything you need for all your remote workers and students can be found at the Lakewinds Deli. Lakewinds Food Co-op is in Minnetonka, Chanhassen, and Richfield with delivery from Instacart. Find out more at lakewinds.com.
Picks and we fry it up on, eat on, fry it up, yummy.
To the Weekly Dish on MyTalk 107.1. I'm Stephanie March, and I'm here with Elizabeth Reese today.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. I love spending time with you. I was so excited to get to hang out, and then you asked about next weekend, too, but my due date's Thursday, so I thought maybe I shouldn't commit to next Saturday, but I thought this one would be safe.
I literally texted you yesterday saying, just checking, still preggers?
Are you still pregnant, and can you still hang out? And I was like, yes, I can.
I love it. But you, and plus, I think having, because, you know, obviously you're calling in from your house, which is wonderful.
Yes.
Like, that makes a lot easier and helpful and everything else.
It is. It's nice. I mean, I've had a work from home setup with my talk for long before the pandemic.
Yeah.
For like 8 years. That's so amazing. It always works out well. Although I miss seeing you. I always love coming into the studio and spending Saturday mornings with you because we chat during the commercial breaks. But it's second best to get to talk food with you all fall morning.
I know, it's so good. Hey, listen, we have two people who've been hanging on from the Ask Stephanie portion of the show. We want to get to those guys. We have Lynn. Lynn is on the line. Lynn, is what's going on?
Hi there. I have a patio garden, and I have an overabundance of lavender and rosemary. Ooh. And I need some ideas of what to do with those two herbs.
Oh, that's so fun.
Yeah.
I want to tell Elizabeth congrats on her upcoming little baby.
Oh, you're so sweet, Lynn. Thank you so much. You're in a good position, sister, because you've got herbs to dry and herbs to use.
Yes.
Steph, so the first thing for me is, I mean, I would just dry them up. So hang them upside down, tie a little twine on the bottom, cut them, and then try not to do them in huge bunches because it's easier to have them have like multiple smaller bunches. And then they dry out a little bit faster and more evenly versus getting moisture stuck in the center.
Yeah.
So just hang them from, even if you have like I'm going to use my old, I have a clothing rack in the basement in the laundry room. And I'm just going to hang all my herbs upside down from that, tie it with twine. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How do you know that they're like dry enough to actually like store or put away?
Well, you'll be able to feel it because they'll be kind of crispy. You know, you'll be able to like kind of crunch them and feel it. And if they have moisture in them, just leave them, just keep leaving them up. And then the lavender, you know, lavender is kind of tricky because you can make recipes with it, but I just think it's wonderful to like make little sachets out of it and tuck it into little drawers. And you can buy little linen bags on Amazon or at the craft store or whatever, wherever, and just like tuck them into your drawers and you'll be so happy. And you can use them as gift tags.
Yeah. Also, I think those are great if you want to infuse some like oils, some skin, you know, some like moisturizing oils, and just like steep the lavender in there. That always makes a nice little, I think, a gift too to somebody.
And then for rosemary, I mean, just add it with sage and thyme to everything that you're making.
Oh, God,
like every soup, just chop up a ton of it. I mean, rosemary and potatoes are like lovers. They love each other.
Yes.
And I mean, just even like I love to do where I just boil up a bunch of red potatoes, then let them cook. cool, keep them in the fridge, and then slice them up, fry them up in some bacon fat, and then add the rosemary, like, kind of towards the end.
Yeah.
And eat that for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, and you will feel like you're winning at life.
Yeah.
I knew you guys would help me.
I love herb gardens. I love people who start gardens on patios, like little tiny gardens, and it just makes my heart a flutter.
It's the everything. Yeah. Hey, we have Patty also on the line. Hey, Patty. Are you there?
Yeah, hi. Well, first of all, Elizabeth, I watch you every day and love your show.
Thank you.
I just wish you the best with your baby coming
up. Thank you. Me too. I'm hoping for the best, too.
For sure. Okay, my question is, where can I get a good bowl of French onion soup? And is there anywhere I could get it curbside?
Oh, that's a good question,
Steph. I have to tell you I'm very sad that the best French onion soup for me was at Belcour Bakery. Mm-hmm. They did just reopen today in the Cooks of Crocus Hill in North Loop, but I don't know if they have that French onion soup yet. I've always loved the one at Salute, too. Honestly.
Oh, that's, yeah, you're right
and
about that.
I think they're doing curbside. I have to check that. But that is a tough one because it is such a good fall thing.
Yeah.
I think that they are, it looks like they are open and doing, they do Bite Squad too. They do delivery.
Oh, Salute is.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
What was that? I'm not familiar with it, the last one.
The Salute is they have one in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, and they have one in Edina on 50th in France, and it's called Salute Bar Americaine, and it's a Paris-Sully restaurant, and they always have, I mean, like, literally their French onion soup is just really topped with the good cheesiness and all the stuff.
Yeah, and get bread.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay. Such good ones.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
All right, it's time for top two in hour two.
Give him the 0-1-2. And now, the Weekly Dish presents...
Top two.
The top two...
Pick your best two.
In hour two.
All right, give me two. With him.
Stephanie, do you have a follow-up for one of yours today?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. It says new pan.
Oh, yes, I do.
And so I'm wondering what's happening here.
I wanted to tell you... I'll just start it.
You do it.
I'm just going to start with the pan. you guys all know that I bought the Always Pan.
You got crazy on Instagram, and he spent $100-something on
it. Like $145, you guys.
I know.
And you weren't here, Elizabeth, but last week I did, I think it was last week, that I did talk about the fact, or 2 weeks ago, that that it wasn't exactly, I don't know if it was worth it.
Okay.
I think that I'm enjoying the pan. I think that it has its uses. I've definitely used it and been happy with it, but I don't like the fact that you can't stick it in the oven.
Mm.
And I don't like the whole thing with the spatula hanging off the handle thing. That's not my bag.
Okay.
And so that's a big piece that I know lots of people love, and I'm not against that. It's just that I have my own favorite tools, and I'm going to use them when I need them.
Fair.
And then the other thing was that I've burned a few things that have stuck to the pan.
Oh, shoot, dog.
And so... like, my oil didn't go into the right area, and I cracked my egg in, and I was frying my egg, and it was just taking a while, and it just burned. And so I was like, so I think, I don't know if I've done something bad to the ceramic on the Always Pan or not. I still think it's pretty, and I still think it has its uses, and I'm not mad at it. But I did buy a new pan, you guys.
Oh.
I bought one. It came yesterday for much less dollars. Let me put it that way. Under $100. In fact, I think it was like $65, which is more than I would pay for a purse, but not for a pan. You know what I mean? Like I have.
Oh, please.
I mean, actually, I probably would pay that for a purse.
You would pay that for a purse, and you don't have to justify that. A pan gives you life.
I know. And now, of course, I can't remember what the pan is called I bought. My God, you guys, seriously. But what I have to tell you is that this one is made with carbon steel with a ceramic coating. So this one, and I'm going to put a post up that compares them both because I'm going to do some cooking when I get home. But it basically is able to go into the oven at up to 450.
Okay.
So that's what I'm looking for.
Okay.
Right?
I think that sounds good.
I know. So I'm telling you that I'm going to do a comparison post on both. I think I will find the name of it. But that's basically, I have a new pan for you is what I'm telling you.
I'm pumped. I'm pumped
about
it. Okay,
what's your first one?
Okay, first thing that I just think that I get obsessed with around this time of year, and I think that you should be eating it nonstop, is delicata squash.
Oh.
It is the greatest squash. It is far superior to any squash.
Yeah.
Here's my case, okay?
Make your case.
Because they're small, and you don't have to peel the skin off of them, and there's not a ton of guts on the inside. Now, my chickens love when I eat squash, because then I give them the squash seeds and the guts.
Yes.
Delicata squash, they're like sort of oblong shaped. They're relatively small. I know. They're sort of like a large bratwurst.
Yeah.
And they are like a yellow or whitish and green stripes.
Yeah, they have those little long stripes. That's almost, in my mind, they look like a weird, like one of those drums from like those conga drums from the 80s.
I think sometimes people think that they're decorative and that they don't eat them, but you definitely want to
eat them. Definitely
eat these. You slice them lengthwise, you cut out the little bit of the guts, and then horizontally slice them into half moons.
Yes.
You can roast them in the oven or you can pan roast them. I do both. And I love to get the Poivre de Cuisine, which is a pepper blend from Lori Kroll at Golden Fig.
Yes, yes.
It tastes like it belongs with delicata squash to me. And I just do olive oil and then just that pepper and salt and then add salt. She has a salt version, but I make it too salty when I use the salt version because I love the flavor so much.
Yes.
So I have switched to the pepper version and then I add my own salt. And it is the best squash treat.
Oof.
I mean, it's good just on its own as a side dish. You can put it in like a bowl. You could put it with wild rice. You could put it with whatever. So don't sleep on the delicata squash. That should be your go-to.
I'm with you on this, and I'm going to tell you that, like, I'm actually at my my sister witch's burning party tonight. I'm going to bury some stuff in the ashes, and I was just thinking I was going to do an acorn squash and cut it in half and then throw a bunch of cheesy goodness in there.
Then close
it up and then wrap it in foil and stick it in the fire ash, which I might still do.
You can eat a lot of squash skin.
Yeah.
An acorn you can too. It's a little thicker, but if you're like a person who doesn't love that texture, get the delicata because it's so thin.
Yeah.
It like melts into the flesh of the squash.
It really is one of those undersung squashes, I think.
Thank you, delicata. Stephanie March.
Yeah, I know. It really is.
A campaign.
I know it's a new campaign.
Delicata squash for president.
Okay.
Okay, what else?
I'm in. That sounds like a great option for me. Okay, so here's my second one is this cute little thing. This is, and we have to go. Okay, so we'll do this quickly. My second one is Lake City Sandwiches. And I guess, you know what? I think I will talk about them at the end of the show because it's a new sandwich pop-up from the Nightingale Kids. But go ahead and give us your last one.
North Star Apple Cider Donuts.
Boom.
I tried them. They're delicious. Find their truck and eat them.
Oh, they're the ones that are out at the Arboretum.
Great.
See, perfect.
And get the frozen cider slushy business. Ugh. It's totally worth it. Even though you think it might be weird, it's not. It's amazing.
Okay, we're going to take a break and we're going to come back and talk more about what we're cooking. We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish.
Hey, everybody. It's Steph March for Common Ground Minnesota. And I know you're wondering, who is Common Ground Minnesota again? Well, let me tell you, it's women in agriculture. These are women farmers who are right here in Minnesota volunteering their time to talk to you guys about food and how it's grown and how and why they grow it. That's Common Ground. Common Ground is, you know, a place where you can go and you can ask those questions about why they grow the food that they're growing and how they're growing it and how that affects your family and what they're eating. This is the greatest part about these guys is that they're just up for discussion because, of course, we all love to talk about food, right? So at Common Ground Minnesota, they have a new website, commongroundminnesota.com. And it's a great new site it's got farmers, it's got topics, it's got a great blog, it's got recipes, there's farm dogs. I don't know what else you could ask for, really. Common Ground Minnesota is a great spot. You can also check them out on Instagram at Common Ground MINN. And of course on Facebook at Common Ground Minnesota. It's a great place for everybody to go and have a conversation.
I love this song. This is like the fact,
so
this is
you.
My favorite Madonna album so randomly.
I know, I love it.
I love Ray of Light. Where has that been for the, we need
the Ray of Light.
We need a Ray of Light.
We do, 100%.
Oh my God. You guys, it's Steph March. I'm with Elizabeth Reese today, and this is my favorite thing to do with Elizabeth Reese. Just talk about what we're cooking.
Because we're always cooking something. I've got 18 things going right now, and I'm creating a grocery order during the breaks.
Like, honestly, I kind of think that maybe we should switch this so that I get to be in my kitchen when we're doing this show,
yes!
too, because I would absolutely have started so much stuff today.
I know. I've got sourdough going, and I've been doing stretch and folds on the half hours.
Oh, my God.
Running downstairs.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah, sourdough is still my life, Stephanie March.
So is it ever, do you think that this is now?
I think it's just kind of part of my rhythm.
I know. I feel like this is your new, this is just it.
Yeah,
like,
and what happens is once you just get in the groove of just feeding your starter and kind of knowing it and getting to know it, people who love sourdough are so right when they say that it's an experience thing, that you just have to take the time to get comfortable with it and understand it. And they're so right. So I've had a sourdough starter going since the beginning of the pandemic because I actually ordered a little powder kit before this all happened and then was like, oh, well, this is perfect timing.
Yeah.
But it took me a while to really get a handle on it. And now I have baking sourdough bread totally into my groove, like my regular groove once or twice a week.
Yeah.
And then right now, too, also, Steph, I have sourdough cinnamon rolls doing their second rise.
What?
In the kitchen right now. And this recipe is from Amanda Paw at Heartbeat Kitchen, which yes. is her blog. And she's my sourdough guru.
I'm Find just clicking a guru into it.
And then just make really good friends with them on Instagram. And just try not to bug them too much so that you annoy them.
Totally become their best friends. It's no
That's
big deal.
What I've done to Amanda, to which I apologize to her. Anyway, her blog and instructions are really helpful. And I'm a visual learner. She does a lot of videos.
Yeah.
And the videos help me, too, to understand what should this dough look like? What does it look like when it's proofed or when it's overproofed? And she's helped me. I mean, I've literally watched her videos multiple times.
Yeah. She's a pro.
She's a total pro. And so I've got these sourdough cinnamon rolls just rising away. And then I'm going to bake them. And that's going to be our afternoon treat today at the Reimers household. So, and what is fun for me about it that I love is I love the idea of eating something fermented all the time and getting that into my kids. It's so good for your gut health. This is like the way that we were really meant to eat bread and a lot of other things. Fermentation is so good for us.
It is.
So it's just kind of fun because it's a nice way to really get to eat things that I totally love, like bread, and feel like it's doing something good for my body.
Yeah.
Instead of super processed.
Right. And it's like, I know that there was a lot of people who were like, well, you know, I'm like carb afraid in a way because they knew that they were like stuck at home and they felt like they were just going to carb up and that's why they weren't going to start baking. And my whole point is like, this is not the same.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. And if you use heritage flours and if you like take the moment, if you're going to expand yourself to become a bread baker, you kind of owe it to yourself to like really think about what that all means and like, what are your ingredients and how are you using them?
It's so, so true.
And it's so different. It's so different than anything that you think you're going to experience that. I think that that's why people have stuck with it too.
And the process of getting better at it just feels good that you're not going to be great at it right away, that it's something really fun. So sourdough, get in on it. It's fabulous.
You're into it. You're still, are you making actual loaves or are you like, are you still doing that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I've got one rising right now. Thank you for asking. I had to stretch and fold. There's a lot of stretching. There's a lot of folding. I can't stretch and fold my body very well, so I just stretch and fold.
No, I think that it's 100% projection.
That is where we're at.
It's all projection.
I wanted to share one fun recipe that we tried on Twin Cities Live this week too, Steph, that is just like so easy, breezy, and great. So Alice Seufert is our cooking star on Twin Cities Live. She has a great blog called Dining with Alice.
Oh, yeah.
She did this recipe that had the crew fighting over the leftovers. I kid you not.
Ooh.
And it was this pizza pull-apart bread.
Oof.
And it's so good and easy. And you use like store-bought biscuit dough.
Yeah.
And then you just wrap it in cheese and pepperoni and then stack it together in these little balls and then add this little Parmesan-y coating. Steph, you would love this.
Oh, I'm looking at her blog on it. And what?
For your little party tonight.
Yeah.
You would love it because and then you just dip it in marinara. And I have to tell you, it was the texture of like the Parmesan on top was totally reminiscent of old school Pizza Hut breadsticks that you would get when you would actually go to the restaurant, which very fond memories of as a kid.
Those. Yes.
And I mean, Steve was like, I could eat this entire pan. The crew was like placing dibs. I mean, it was really hilarious because we actually, our producer made some for us to try, even though Alice was Skyping in from her home.
Oh, right.
And I just think this is one of those recipes that you'll love to have to like watch football or whatever.
Right.
It's just fun. It's delicious.
It's like a cheesy pizza roll.
100%.
But like, and I don't love pizza rolls because like that oily fried thing bugs me. Like you can eat two of them and then you're like, well, now all
these
I taste is.
These are pillowy and fluffy and yum.
Can I tell you that she is the source of my roast beef, you know, game day sandwiches that she makes?
Yep.
With like, I know she has them on Hawaiian rolls. I do them on the little brioche things.
Yep.
And those I make those more often. And that's just because I watched her make them one time on your show. And I was like, I'm done. That's it.
I'm going to do this. Yeah. She's just really great at that stuff. Simple, easy, really fun. So I recommend you making that.
Okay. And it's just flaky biscuit dough. Done. Okay.
Like three things, Stephanie.
I know.
It's so so awesome.
That's so ridiculous. I'm going to totally do that. And then I'm just going to sit and eat them. I don't have anybody to cook for anymore, I swear to God.
Just eat by yourself.
It is all fine. Okay, so let's talk about soup, because basically we started talking about it and we were kind of talking that I think that this is like, boom, we just landed as soon as it dipped below 50 all.
Yep.
Actually, below 60.
We fell into it.
I was in. I mean, I was 100% in, and I'm only thinking about what soups I'm going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So I started with potato soup, which is just, you know, my very common potato leek soup, which is like the basics for everything in my mind. You know what I mean? Because all it is like, and that's the soup that I basically learned how to build soup, which is like, you know, browning your vegetables, you know, kind of getting them the garlic and onion translucent, and then throwing your herbs in, and then throwing your veg and your stock and letting that simmer, and then adding the cream on top of that if you need to later.
Yep.
And that to me was like, okay, I can do this, right?
Right.
And so, and I will tell you guys that my potato leek soup recipe is over on What to Cook for When, but I can link to it again if you want me to. Because
I do want you to, please do.
Yeah, there's always people are like, what the hell? And I'm like, yeah, no, it's there. It's so good. But for you, what is your soup that you're craving right now?
Well, the go-tos that I always do is I do a chicken wild rice soup.
Yeah.
I can send you that link too. The recipe is posted on my Instagram.
Okay.
You just have to scroll down at Eliz Reese. You'll find it. And what I love about the wild rice soup that I do, and you know, you have to kind of determine what kind of a wild rice soup person are you. Are you like super, super thick? Or are you really, really brothy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm an in-between.
Oh.
So if you feel like the super thick is overwhelming and then the brothy is unsatisfying, which is how I feel.
Yep, me too.
This is very much in-between. I do a little bit of a roux in it.
Yeah.
So it thickens up with a little bit of flour and butter, but then I also hit it with some heavy cream too.
Oof.
And so to me, chicken wild rice is all the things.
It's a soup that I think a lot of people are afraid to attempt. For some reason, they're not very, they know how to buy it, but they don't know how to, like, wild rice, I find people are a little bit more worried about. Hey, you guys, we're going to take a quick break, but I want you to know we are going to continue to talk about what we are cooking, and we're going to continue with soup, because I have a couple questions that I want to see what you're feeling about.
Ooh, good.
We'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish.
My Talk 107.1.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Weekly Dish. Elizabeth Reese and I are talking about the things that we are cooking.
Yes, and it feels great.
I am, like, this is really a favorite part of my existence, is just talking about food that you're cooking with your friends.
I know.
Honestly.
It's great. And we're all home a lot more, and we're doing a lot more cooking.
Yeah.
So it's just time to get it going.
So I wanted to ask, we were talking about soups, and I wanted to ask if you do a squash soup or a pumpkin soup or anything like that.
Yes,
ever.
I do a roasted butternut squash soup, and I do pretty simple squash soups where I just do a puree, and it's just...
You just roast it and puree it.
Roast it, and then add chicken stock, add a little cream, make sure you've got a lot of herbs in there, and then just puree the heck out of it.
Yeah, that's the easiest, greatest stuff.
Yeah, it's really easy. And that's, you know, that kind of like easy pureed soup to me is so comforting. And you can do the same thing with like a cauliflower soup that you would add potatoes to, too.
Yeah.
And just... The key is, I think, to have a high-powered blender so you can get that, like, really silky restaurant feeling. And don't stinge on the olive oil.
And can I tell you that I think that you can, if you really... I know that if you don't have a... the Vitamix and all that and all those good ones, that if you have a really good stick blender, an immersion blender, you can achieve the same. It takes a little bit more work.
Yep.
But for me, I am not a human who wants to pour her hot soup into a tall carafe blender.
I know.
Ever. I never do it. I have never done it. Yeah. I did it once, and I will never do it again.
I do it, and I kind of just have a system where I just ladle it in there and do it in batches and do it. But at the same time, there are a lot of times when my immersion blender is one of the most used tools in my kitchen. Mine was like $30, and I probably got it 10 years ago.
Yeah, I have basically the Vitamix of immersion blenders.
Oh, see,
like,
mine isn't that good.
I have this huge commercial grade stick blender with a super long cord so I can plug it in anywhere and get to my stove. And then I mean, honestly, this thing has three speeds and it's amazing.
That's probably why I put it in the actual blender, because I don't get the smooth results from my immersion blender.
And I think that's what I was going to say is like, and I do, let's be clear, I would rather have a great Vitamix for many reasons, you know, those things. But this was just where, you know, I think I got this as a gift from from a, as like a kitchen gift from someone, and it just changed everything for me. So.
Yeah, well, and I've had my Vitamix for a dozen years, and I just had it repaired because I broke it.
Oh God!
And they fixed it for free.
Oh, they did.
Yes, and it was it's insane. I mean, when you think about like price per use, and yes, it, at the time it was a $500 blender.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a joke.
No.
Of how much that is, but Stephanie, 12 years. Think of how many blenders I could have gone through.
All of them. All of them, because that's literally my problem. Is yes. I don't even use a blender anymore because I keep buying the wrong ones because I haven't ponied up.
Just pony up.
I know. I need to pony up.
Stop buying these weird
Maybe
pans
I should stop buying pans buy online. Vitamix. Maybe I should stop. Well, actually, now that I've said this in the presence of my phone, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get a Vitamix ad. So there we are.
Yeah, and just fall for it. Do it.
Can we talk a little bit about, because you have a thing about crispy sage, and I have to tell you that I ignore sage every other month of the year other than September and October.
And that's fine. That's okay. You can totally do that. Fried sage leaves are so wonderful, and I put them on so many different things.
Yeah.
There's a pasta recipe that I linked up that I created, gosh, a few years ago, and it's just like one of my family's favorite things.
Yeah.
It is literally, these are the ingredients. Breakfast sausage.
Yeah.
Roasted butternut squash, pasta, and cream. I mean, and Parmesan. This is it. It is so good. And then I fry sage leaves up to put on top. And so if you've got a ton of sage in the garden, or maybe you want to give it away or whatever, if you just take some butter, like a tablespoon of butter, put it in a small skillet and then melt it and get it over like medium heat, and then just put a bunch of sage leaves in there and then just kind of flip them a little bit. They will get crispy and delicious, and they are so heavenly. Even if you do like store-bought butternut squash ravioli from the refrigerator section, and then just pour that, what turns into like a browned butter and sage on top of it, and then like a shower of Parmesan, you will feel so fall feelings.
It is. It's unbelievable what it does. Think about, I eat ham and butter sandwiches all year, all year long. But then suddenly in September, I start putting sage in there.
Smart.
I chop up a bunch of sage and I do it in the butter. And so that it's like a compound butter kind of thing. But then sometimes I layer on those velvety leaves and I just eat ham, butter and sage, you guys.
Yes.
With a healthy, healthy amount of salt.
I love it.
And it's just something about sage. And the weird part is I oversaged my kids, you guys. There was a problem. I was making gnocchi a lot and I was doing things and I oversaged them. And there was a point where they're like, can you just back off on the sage? And I think now they don't want it anywhere on my stuff.
You ruined them.
I did.
You ruined them.
I oversaged them.
I think even just, thinking about like those sage leaves on like stuffing a chicken, if you're going to roast a chicken with just a bunch of sage, or I love the idea of your compound butter and then putting that in between the chicken skin and the chicken meat, and then just doing a really simple roasted chicken with sage. But those fried sage leaves, I'll put on top of a risotto. I make a bacon and butternut squash risotto that I love, and I put fried sage leaves on top of that. Putting it on top of soups, any kind of pasta that you can just kind of sprinkle those fried sage leaves on top.
Yeah.
It's delicious.
Okay, so I have a couple of GF witches coming over tonight. So what I think I'm going to do, now that I'm looking at your pasta, I'm looking at your orecchietti thing, and I can't do the orecchietti, but what I think I'm going to do instead is just amp it. Do like, I'm almost going to do like a squash casserole that can bury in the ashes in my Le Creuset. Is cube up my butternut squash and put the sausage in there, or maybe some of the pulled pork that I have left.
Yeah.
And then throw in a little bit of the cream and throw in the sage and mix that around with a bunch of cheese and just let that cook into, you know, like almost like a big kind of yummy thing.
I honestly think you could even do rice in there too.
Well, that's a bunch of stock. I should do rice.
And
it
would turn into like a sausage rice squash casserole.
Yeah.
I should make a rice version. That's really good. That's a great idea.
That is a great idea. I know. I definitely go for the pasta first.
I know.
But I have many friends who do not. So I always feel like I have to kind of bob and weave, and that's a great idea.
It is a good thing. And thinking of things, squash, pork, and sage.
I know.
The three of them want to be friends. Yeah. They want to hang out at the bar together with you.
Yep. And the other thing I've been doing is doing dumplings. Jake and I have been making so many dumplings because we figured out how to do that. And now we stand and eat dumplings. I take them from the steamer, the bamboo basket steamer, and we like put them in our faces while I put more in. You know what I mean?
You can't sit down to eat those. You have to just be standing.
You have to stand by the steamer pot, and that's fine with us. And then we have like the TV on and the like way over there, and we're all just, we just, this is our favorite thing now.
What kind of things are you putting in the dumplings?
So the thing is, I was going to say is I have not done pumpkin or any sort of squash in there. I always do pork, mm-hmm. and I usually do like a lemongrass and mushroom, and I do like, you know, I marinate the pork stuff in cider vinegar or rice vinegar first. And now I'm thinking, what if I did it in like cider vinegar and I cut up instead of mushrooms, I did a little bit of the pumpkin in there.
Great.
And then threw some of sage in there as well.
Yes. Oh, yes. So I love that idea. That's like it's like a dumpling version of kind of like a little ravioli.
I know.
I mean, they're kind of the same thing.
I mean, they really are.
When it comes down to it.
Honestly, it's like, I know. Am I over my time here? I think no, I'm not. Okay. I thought I was. I got scared.
No, you don't have to be scared.
Hey, listen, someone sent us a question and they want to know, what should I do to preserve my basil? I hang my rosemary, like you said. Yeah. Also, do I hang my thyme?
Yeah, you can do that with your thyme too. Yeah. Absolutely. That's a great thing to, I mean, it, you know, what was so funny to me, and this is like the dumb things that I think, guys. The other day I was like, oh, I'm out of dried oregano. I need to buy some. And then I was like, you stupid lady, you have a garden full of oregano. Dry it and put it in the same jar. What is wrong with you? I mean, it is sort of funny how you think of those things.
Yeah.
And then with basil, you can definitely do dried basil too. I don't love it as much.
I think
the best thing to do with basil is to make, like Stephanie mentioned, a compound butter.
Yep.
So you can make a compound butter and you can freeze compound butters. Totally fine. So mm-hmm. you just do the chop up the basil, mix it in with some room temp butter, form it into a log in, you know, plastic wrap or whatever, and then just freeze it. The other thing you can do is you can always freeze it in ice cube trays with olive oil.
Yeah.
So just pile in a bunch of chopped basil into each ice cube thing, top with olive oil. Freeze it and then pop them out. If you have silicone ice cube trays, I think it works even easier.
Yeah.
And then just store them in a big Ziploc. And then like anytime you're just even, I don't know, doing like some broccoli.
That's a really good idea.
Like steam some broccoli and then pop one of those cubes on the top of it when it comes out of the steamer.
Yeah.
Salt and pepper it, serve it up.
That's a really great mm-hmm. idea. I don't know why I've not done that. And I've had like basil sometimes, like, and some of my friends are like, oh my God, I have so much basil, you should take it. I'm like, no, I've got too much pesto already.
Right.
But like taking it away from the pesto piece mm-hmm. and just giving it its own space.
Because then essentially, Steph, if you wanted to like turn that into a pesto.
Yeah.
You could.
You still could.
You could take those olive oil cubes, pop them in your food processor with some pine nuts and some Parmesan and some garlic. And that is pesto.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the best. The dried basil, I don't know. Do you guys ever buy dried basil at the store? It's just not that great.
I bought it once and I had a jar of it forever, which is obviously meaning I wasn't using it. It just doesn't, the freshness that comes from the side of basil, that's what you identify with it. That's what you want from it. It just doesn't appear in the dried
stuff. I think it's like the harder herbs tend to dry better. So like oregano, thyme, rosemary, sage. I mean, dry all of those things. And you can also have fun. Once you've dried all of them, making some of your own seasoning blends.
Right.
And that's a really good holiday gift idea, too.
Yeah.
Of making your own kind of Italian seasoning or whatever.
We did. My thyme in the pot is like basically like I when I was doing my potato soup, I always throw thyme in there. And I told Jake to go out to the pot and get some. And he's like, it's pretty crisp. I was like, oh, is it time? Is it time for the time?
It's time for the time.
It's time for the time.
It's good.
But all right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break and we are going to come back and wrap up the show for you.
No, it can't be done already.
I know. It's just insane, but that's the deal. So we'll be right back. This is The Weekly Dish on My Talk 107.1. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us today on Weekly Dish. It's been a great ride with Elizabeth Reese as our co-host today.
I'm loving it. Thanks for having me, Steph.
It's been wonderful. And we all, of course, are just really crossing our fingers that you get to have a baby soon.
I think that would be really great. I would like that to happen soon, too.
That it does not carry on to, you know,
15 days overdue with my first and 5 with my second. So I'm kind of used to this deal. But I'll be on Twin Cities Live this week through Friday, and then I'm calling it.
And then you're calling it.
Then I'm calling it. And I'm just going to be just waiting for baby.
Is there anything that you were craving weirdly during your pregnancy to
not
eat?
Not too many weird things. I mean, I always love you know, carbs when I'm pregnant. Because I think anytime you, your tummy feels a little off, you just always want that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been really craving like ramen this weekend.
Oh.
So, and I just, it's funny because the summer is the time of so much abundance. And it's also probably the time of year that I cook the least. Mm-hmm. It's just so hot. So when fall starts, I just get so excited to get into the kitchen and just be baking and cooking and everything nonstop.
I literally was thinking the other night that I, like, all summer long, I've just been like snacking during lunchtime, you know, and then making dinner, but barely making dinner, like doing a lot of grilled things and then having some salads and things like that. I just haven't been that hungry this summer. And I think it's just the stress and the work and all this stuff. But I literally have this week just started completely eating. I mean, totally, obviously my body is like, oh, so now we're gonna pad up, like, here we go. And fully, it's all about the potatoes. My weekly dishers know this, that like I basically jacket my body with potatoes.
It's always potatoes,
the way it goes. But one of the things I do love and that I kind of miss, and then I go into like this whole obsession and I dip in and dip out of it, is sandwiches. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, and you were saying that your daughter doesn't necessarily appreciate a good sandwich yet.
No, because she doesn't want like tomato and lettuce and tons of mustard and pickles on it.
All the things, and right, that make a sandwich.
Her hands are too small to have it the appropriate size that it needs to be to get everything in it.
Oh, that's true. And her mouth can't open as big as it needs to. God, I love it. So I wanted to tell you guys about a place that has just launched Lake City Sandwiches. And this is, you know, Carrie McCabe Johnson, who runs the chef at Nightingale. And you know, they have McCormick's, the bar, as part of their collection.
Oh, yeah,
they have that.
Yeah.
They're so cute. They launched a sandwich pop-up shop from their restaurant.
Cool.
And basically they are doing, hang on, I gotta pull it up. But it's what the deal is open. They're gonna be open for it every day of the week. And you order your sandwich online and they're making focaccia every single day.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And they're making focaccia every single day and they're topping it with all the good things. They've got a great like BLT sounding thing. They've got, and they're gonna deliver. If you live in the area, they will deliver.
That's fantastic.
I know, or you can pop up and you can go grab it. Because for me, I actually, you know, nobody delivers out to me. So,
No,
I can't do anything about that.
I know, but sometimes they don't even to me, too.
I mean, know. So anyway, it's called Lake City. I'm going to put the link up. I can't find it right now.
Yeah, I got to look for it.
Yeah, Lake City Sandwiches. And because here's the deal. I love a good sandwich. And I feel like I make my own, but then the hardest part is that I make the things I want to have on it. And then I kind of... And then I want a different one, but I still have all the stuff.
The problem is that a sandwich and a salad are going to both fall under the same category, which is always better when someone else makes it for
you.
Totally. And you can make an amazing salad and enjoy it, but it would be better if somebody else handed it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I'm 100% with you.
And then it's like, I don't know. I always feel like I want to be inspired by other people's sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And I'm often disappointed.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people kind of like if they're like, oh, well, here's the turkey one. And I will say that there's a shop. I know that Dipped in Debris is a great sandwich shop in Northeast.
Oh, cool.
And that one has been really great. I've had good ones there. But there's a couple things there that I'm like, I mean, you know, like, fine. I want it to be more. I think I might have to open a sandwich shop when I'm going to retire.
I think that's a great idea. Maybe. And when I am craving a sandwich to like really hit the spot, I always just go to Cecil's Deli in Highland Park in St. Paul and I get the Sasha sandwich, which is pastrami and cheese. And they call it a bird sauce, which is a mixture of mustard and mayo and then a fried egg on top of it. And then they serve it on their caraway rye bread, which they make the best caraway rye bread that you can buy.
Right.
And they toast it up. And it's the only place that I like crinkle cut fries because I just kind of hate them everywhere else except for at Cecil's. And it's so heavenly. And then I am literally full for the entire day, Steph. Like I eat it and it's just that day is done. So Cecil's Deli in Highland Park in St. Paul. And you can eat in there too, you know, depending on what you're comfortable with. But Jay and I just went for lunch a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I also love the sandwiches at Douay.
Yes.
In St. Paul. And you mentioned focaccia, which made me think of them because they have wonderful focaccia bread that they do their sandwiches on. And they have a super cute little takeout window that you just go up to. They're the same folks that own Italian Eatery.
Yeah.
And every time I've been to either Italian Eatery or Douay, they must do something in terms of their hiring process that only allows them to hire the nicest people on the planet because they're so nice in both of those restaurants.
Yes.
So I love to support that too. And they have a really good little takeaway menu of things that you can then bring home to just kind of amp up your own life.
They have what I love about I have to tell you that you can buy compound butter to go at, like, a little tube of compound lemon butter from Douay.
Oh, cool.
I know. So, and because they have a little deli area, and you can also buy, here's a secret, and it may be on the magazine, MSP Mag, you can buy their olive oil. They have a specific olive oil that they get, they like contract get in bulk from these guys in Italy. And it is, you can buy these little bottles of it. They will fill a bottle for you and sell it to you.
Oh my gosh. You can also buy wine from there and get like a really good takeout situation too.
Yes.
And they're right on Fairview in St. Paul. And that's just a really nice place to pick up.
I think so. I think so cute.
We are so learning how well people can do takeout.
Yeah.
And where you can get the best takeout. And I think restaurants are curating their menu to understand what is best for takeout. And I also think that that's a real positive because, you know, not everybody can go and sit in a restaurant for a myriad of reasons. Some of us have tiny people who terrorize us and will not allow us to sit in a restaurant.
They are fully against the sitting in a restaurant.
I have to say, you know, I did, Steph, take the kids. We went to Longfellow Grill the other night, you know, which is, of course, one of the Blue Plate restaurants. And that's the one that's closest to us. And so we've been going there. I mean, that's like our kids' first restaurant. They love it so much. And we realized our children hadn't been in a restaurant since before the pandemic hit, March.
I think a lot of people are saying that.
And we had them wear their masks in, and then we sat at the table, and they are social distanced, and they're like, and they're doing contact tracing just in case if anybody came. I mean, they're super, I felt very good about it, and you have to make your own choice for you. That being said, my children were bouncing in their seats because they were so excited to be in a restaurant. And, you know, we live in the city. They're restaurant kids. I mean, we go to restaurants. We take them. That's like our activity. Some people take their kids to parks. I take them to restaurants.
No, hello. Let's take them to restaurants. That's how we do. That is how we do.
Yeah.
I did find Lake City Sandwiches, you guys, and I put it online. They are lakecitysandwiches.com. And you get them. You either order them online and they'll come to you, or you pick them up at Nightingale. So just so you know. I did put that on the Facebooks. Hey, also, you know, actually, speaking about takeout and restaurants, like you were saying, I did put a question on the Facebook today because I kind of wanted to see, are you guys, you know, what are you guys feeling about eating outside as long as possible? Will you go indoors when the patio's closed?
I was looking at the responses that you posted.
Yeah, some really thoughtful things. And I think that there's, you know, I'm really curious. And if you guys haven't answered, please go and answer, you know, and let us know your thoughts, because I'm really trying to get an understanding. I love using our dishes as a good sample of the cross section of the cities. And I would really, and even if you're listening to this podcast tomorrow or whatever, go ahead back in and give us your feelings, because I'm trying to really understand. I think that most of us will eat outside as long as possible with heaters or whatever we can get. And then I think if they go, people seem to say if they'll go inside, it's because people are doing things responsibly.
Mm-hmm. Which so. I'm finding everywhere I go, they really are.
Yeah.
Hang in there, guys.
Hang in there, guys. Hang seriously. There.
Make
6 months.
Soup.
Crazy. Thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Steph. You're the best. I love hanging out with you guys. Thanks for all the kind words from our callers, too.
So good.
Baby on the way.
There you go. Congratulations. Ciao, ciao.